Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, it is not Fireball Friday. That's the last Fireball. We may have other ones. We're never going to have that awful thing called Fireball. But it's Chuck and Julie, Grassroots Show, truth straight up.
That's right. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine. For those of you who watched our promo, we were going to have Gianna Maselli on. She's a political analyst, talk about the Trump verdict. She's caught in some kind of downpour on the way to the airport. I don't know, traveling. So we'll reschedule her. So in the meantime, it's going to be just us. So if you want to call in, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. And as always, we'll take comments from the chat section on Zoom. But God, I don't know what we're going to talk about today.
I don't know. Something happened.
Yeah. You know, you go first. Your overall thoughts on it.
Outrageous, awful. But while I was taking a shower, coming up to this program, I figured out a solution.
What's that?
You know, we've
drink
been...
more.
There's that one, yeah. Not that Fireball.
Yeah.
You know, they're talking about, which I agreed with before, you know, we've got to start arresting Democrats and all that. But then we become exactly as they are. So what's the solution? Here's the solution. We've got all these Civil Rights Acts, Civil Rights Act of 64, Civil Rights Act 65, with tons of provisions and everything else. And it's really meant to prevent people under color of law from abusing particularly African-Americans, where they deny them their rights, they arrest them, they'd do everything else. Take that statute, and I haven't gone through it yet, but, you know, any bright lawyer, just as they took the civil rights, the 1964 14th Amendment.
Provision. Right, that Trump can't be on the ballot.
Yeah. And make it a crime to engage in the actions that Bragg undertook,
a violation of civil rights.
Yeah, I mean, what more could you call? They're denying President Trump of life, liberty,
right,
right
to fear trial, all kinds of civil rights,
and so forth.
That's a good idea.
Make that interpret that as a violation of those statutes, and incarcerate and try. Those people are guilty of it, including Jack Smith, including Fannie Willis, including Alvin Bragg, including the two judges in New York.
Including Joe Biden, including Merrick Garland, including Barack Obama, including Robert Mueller. The list goes on.
No, but including Merrick Garland, because those are the ones who drove it and did it.
Right.
That's who should be punished, those who engaged in this.
Right.
Really attack on our Constitution, attack on our civics, attack on everything we hold dear. And they need to be held responsible.
Right.
And they need to be put in jail.
That's right. Sandra says she likes that. Leo says the Guthrie song, Alice's Restaurant. Leo, I'm not sure. Explain further what you mean by that. But that's a good idea. And that could be when you talk about, and that's absolutely right, because everyone is saying, okay, we need to fight fire with fire. We need to do this. We need to do that, which I all agree with. Right. But that's actually a practical thing you could do. Right. And you could just twist it. It's the same way. Was it meant to be used against, you know, illegal prosecutions? No. But on the other hand, was anything that they've done meant to be used the way it's being used?
Right.
No.
Right.
And so, and you know, one of the things I wanted to talk about.
Just put them in jail, put those January 6th federal judges in the same hell holes that without bail. That they put the January 6th people
Chuck, you know that the Republicans in Congress, we must first send out some strongly worded tweets.
Yes.
And then after we do that, then we must schedule some hearings.
But see, this is the key to this. This is the key to this. At first, I envisioned a new law that would engage in this. And go, they'll never get anything passed.
Mm-mm.
They're too inept. All we need is one attorney general that's willing to do it. And I promise you, Ken Paxton is probably that attorney general.
Well, and a little bit of history, because Ken Paxton himself has been on the false receiving end of the FBI investigation. So he knows.
Yes.
Well, that's the thing. And I mean, this has been sort of the universal reaction that we need to fight fire with fire, that thinking the Democrats, there is no step that they won't take. That's just, it's childish, magical thinking. It's just not going to happen. The problem we have, and this is what we wanted to talk about really, is, and the conservative treehouse explained this so brilliantly, basically the Republican establishment doesn't really care who's in the White House. That's sort of their secondary goal. If it's a Republican, great, when they can control. But what they mostly do not want is somebody that they can't control in the White House, like Donald Trump, whose policies grassroots in Colorado, or the grassroots in Texas, or the grassroots anywhere, really.
Yes,
in Arizona, you could just go down the list. And they don't want anyone who threatens their power. I mean, we see it in Colorado. They would rather hold on to their little bit of power and do nothing with it, really, then let it go and actually accomplish something. And we need to get rid of those people. I mean, Doug Lamborn, you know, was tweeting you ask yourself, is he even still alive? He is. Thank God he's not running again. But he was tweeting out earlier, oh, this is terrible what they did to Donald Trump. Well, screw you, Doug Lamborn. You're the same Doug Lamborn who voted to give the FBI more money and more power. You had the ability to do something about some of these DOJ persecutions, and you don't, right? So I think people are sick of that anymore, you know? And I think so.
I'm
yours
sure
is
it's sick enough. But yeah.
Well, and hopefully enough people are sick enough. And that's a brilliant idea. Just go ahead and
honestly, you know,
dismissal yourself.
I mean, somebody else will come up with it and they'll say, see, Chuck just stole it from him. There's nobody I could have stolen it from.
Chuck just thought of that today.
From my shower to here.
As brilliant thoughts often do.
Well,
when you're Chuck, you just kind of wander around and brilliant thoughts.
It just go running out of my brain.
For me, I wander around and I think I need some new Birkenstocks or something like that. Which is like, well, equally brilliant in its own way.
Yes,
or I think to myself, I wonder if Chuck went to the grocery store like he said he was going to.
Probably not.
I agree with you too. And one hand, yesterday, I have to admit, I was not surprised. You and I had disagreed about this. Normally, I'm the hopeful one. And I said, of course they're going to convict him. None of these jurors want to go home and then go to their cocktail party in Manhattan tonight or tomorrow night and say, oh yeah, I was the one who said holdout, right? Or we didn't, you know, kidnap the holdout. None of them wanted to do that. I'm sure it's kind of like when you drive by an accident and you don't stop because you assume someone else will stop, right? Which is usually true. I'm sure that if any of these jurors had a conscience and thought, oh, you know, maybe Trump isn't guilty, but I certainly don't want to take the fall for that. And I'm sure they thought to themselves, well, there's appeals, right? It'll be overturned on appeals. So I think,
Maybe. Well, yeah, exactly.
Well, that's what I mean. All these people who say, well, the jurors are not to blame. Who else is to blame? Who in the end had the authority and the ability to put an end to this and chose to let it ride?
What's everybody saying up here, Julie?
Okay, let me put my glasses on. I can't see. Okay. Jacob, on last night's show, Bill O'Reilly said that Trump cannot be arrested because that would be election interference and that would shoot a lawsuit straight to the Supreme Court. Stephen Miller on Buck and that other guy said the same thing to get red AGs to start arresting Democrats. The senator from Wisconsin, who was then caught money laundering $25 million to her campaign contributions, a good start. And then Sandra, my understanding is that the Democrats are trying to push through a law that would take away Secret Service that are protecting Trump so they can throw him in jail and do an Epstein on him. There are two attorneys on the jury, a-holes. All of those are good things. And here's the thing. They just need to start, right? I mean,
No, they don't need to start. They don't need to do anything. He just needs to meet with Ken Paxton. Don't tell everybody. Don't let the cat out of the bag. You know, don't always threaten.
What I mean, though, is that I don't want to see, like, sometime in 2027, some AG launches something. I mean, I think something needs to be done right away.
Well,
because
it's very hard to convince. Let's face it, if I was an AG, hey, be a total a-hole and arrest people and put them in jail.
To have no problem.
I know,
going
but
in.
If you're saying if you were the AG, you'd have trouble with it. So
I said, would it? I would be like, you know what? Just arrest him, and we'll do a Scotty Scheffler. Just arrest him, and we'll figure out the crime later. And then after we've had him in jail,
we have to have a method to punish the people who deserve to be punished. And those are the AGs and the judges who've been involved
in
these
doing
awful
this.
Things. And that's the only way we'll stop it.
So let's go back again. So you're saying brilliantly that great, let's go ahead and prosecute everyone else too. We might as well do that. It's like the senator from Wisconsin. But what you're saying is the people who push it are, we could accuse them of violating Trump's civil rights. Now, wouldn't they have some sort of immunity?
We waive that.
Oh, okay. You just say no.
We say, yeah.
You can argue that, but yeah. You can arrest him and let him argue that.
Well, you know, we've decided that kind of immunity is not applicable.
I think if it's a gross misapplication of the standard procedure then you don't get immunity.
Well, who gives the immunity? He's got to go, no, we're not going to give you the immunity. And, you know, you can go argue that after you get to the hellhole of Washington, D.C. jail.
Right. Well, either way, what they need to do, and I understand what you're saying, you want to be strategic about it, but they need
you're
to do it.
Strategic, but you got to get to Ken Paxton and said, the day we get in, don't tell anybody.
Right.
Don't tell anybody. The subpoenas go out. The grand juries go out. We punish those who've engaged in scandal.
Absolutely. But, you know, I'm kind of sick. I like Jim Jordan, but he's like, oh, we're going to hold hearings. It's like, what? And then they're going to ignore the subpoena like they already did. And then what are you going to do? Right. I mean, it was useful for a while, but the Russia thing, because we saw, and I think it made it clear to people who were somewhat skeptical, just how corrupt the Democrats are, right? But we all know that now. So we don't need to hold any more hearings, right, that will reveal documents that show that the DOJ was involved in this, right?
Right.
We don't need that anymore. We get it. What we need to do now is fight back.
Not now.
When? If not when?
When you know, Trump has gone from the avenging messiah.
Mm-hmm.
To the suffering Messiah. Mm. Now, the suffering Messiah was so powerful that it took over the Roman Empire and became the sole religion, 385 AD. He becomes the suffering Messiah, the one that has been wronged and everything else. And you know, studying all my New Testament stuff, you know, the idea eventually was, okay, you'd have the suffering Messiah, Jesus, and then he'd go up to heaven. Then he'd come back down and be
the avenging Messiah.
Avenging Messiah. So that's what we're going to do here. We're going to be the suffering Messiah until after the election. In fact, until he takes power January 20th.
But you think,
and then the avenging Messiah comes.
Well, and that's kind of what, because we've got some sound to play too. And then we can kind of go back over this. I think that one thing is clear, Larry Hogan, the Senate candidate from Maryland, you pointed this out, I think destroyed his career. He's been getting totally screwed over. The anti-Trumpers and never Trumpers like him, but I think he's been, social media, he's been getting skewered.
You know, regardless of the verdict, we must respect the process respect what the jury has done, which is similar to saying, you know, after a Kristallnacht or something, where they round up the Jews and put them in concentration camps.
We must respect the process.
We must respect the process all the way through.
Right.
He's not the only one. I mean, Asa Hutchinson ran for things and said the same thing.
But even Mike Pence said that this was bad. Again, they all had time to do something. But there's a step forward, right? At least before, originally, when some of these first charges started coming up, way back when in the Mueller investigation, even Sean Hannity was kind of like, well, let the system play out where there's smoke, there's fire. Republicans now, and I think increasingly the average American gets the fact I would say 70% of Republicans. Okay.
70% of Republicans. I would say most Republicans, but not most Democrats.
No.
They're all
celebrating. Most Democrats don't care.
No, they don't care.
Most Democrats, for some reason, think that this will never happen to them, which I don't know why they think that.
Because they won't.
but I think that where even they would say, let the system play out, people now like you said, most Republicans, and I think a lot of just average Americans, get the idea that the system is rigged against them when the powers that be want it to be rigged against them. That, in other words, there was a time in this country, and I agree with all of the things that said, you know, the bell has been rung and can't be unrung. You know, we've crossed the Rubicon, that this is a significant development. Now, I don't know that it'll affect the election that much. It certainly doesn't seem to.
It will affect the election. How it'll affect the election, we just don't know.
Exactly. Okay.
Because it'll always be, you know, till July 12th.
Oh, he's going to be a convicted felon.
And, you know, July 12th, he becomes sentenced. And after that, which is 3 days before the Milwaukee convention we're going to.
Right.
So that it is going to be at a continual deal.
Well, and yeah, and it could play out better for Trump, like you said, the suffering messiah. But at any rate, though, I think this is a time when there is no longer an ability to say, okay, well, at least, you know, I'll get my day in court. At least, you know, a jury. I can count on a jury of my peers to see what's happened. And I don't think that anymore, right? I mean, if you go up against them and they, whoever, you know, the powers that be, and they want to get you, we've seen clearly they will totally rig the system. The judge is corrupt. Even liberal analysts are like, we still don't actually even know what Trump was convicted of. Right? Doesn't matter. And, you know, the New York appellate courts, I don't think are going to do anything. Now, Trump can appeal. He has 30 days to appeal. They've already said they will. Before we get to the sound, actually, let me ask you this. You're the lawyer.
I'm the lawyer.
Are there grounds for this to go straight to the Supreme Court?
The Supreme Court can always take jurisdiction if it wants to.
Okay.
I mean, you can always say this is an emergency. This is, if it isn't resolved quickly and right away with your intervention, even though 99.99% of the time you wouldn't intervene if they were going to lynch Trump tomorrow.
Okay, if he was going to impose death penalty.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So, my guess is they won't. My guess is what might force it is, you know, again, I've been saying all along they were going to convict him. I firmly believe the judge is going to sentence him to prison. Right. Now, there's some discrepancy about it. I mean, this theoretically, it's 34 counts and there's 4 years on each count. Although generally the law stipulates. And generally what happens is that it's served concurrently all at the same time. But I think the judge, that's what I was going to say, probably in this case has the ability to sentence him consecutively. And then you appeal that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So theoretically, Trump could be sentenced to,
132 years in prison.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that the judge would do that, but I think he's going to sentence him to prison saying, oh, he doesn't show any remorse.
Yeah.
And
that's another biblical one. And then, you know, you've officially had Christ or Trump before the Sanhedrin. And they've said, nah, you're a blasphemer. We won't, you know, we're sending you to the Roman authorities to be punished. And the Roman authorities, which is Pontius Pilate, said, what's this man done? What are the charges here? We don't see the charges. And he said, well, you know, what should we do about this? Should we save Barabbas, and I'm not sure who Barabbas is in this case. Probably Hunter Biden.
Who goes on trial next week, by the way.
Next week, we gotta let him go. Or Trump. And everybody goes, you know, Barabbas, Hunter. And so that's what the judge will do. He'll go, look, I don't want to, but you've been unremorseful. You haven't said anything that you're sorry, that this is a fair trial. I'm obligated under the sentencing and fiduciary guidelines that I have to sentence you to a minimum of
132 years.
52 years 52. Or something.
Well, and I think, again, anyone who thinks, I listen to Jonathan Turley and he can be good, but it's like he's clearly, like, what world are you living in, Jonathan? He's like, he doesn't have a record and blah, blah, blah.
Oh.
The judge can do. They will be sentencing guidelines, right? And the federal system, I think the judge has to abide by the federal guidelines.
There are no guidelines
in that. But yeah, the judge can do whatever he wants. And again, we've seen what this judge is willing to do to Justin.
I'm sure the guidelines, but not mandatory guidelines.
This judge, like I said, he doesn't care, right? He doesn't care. He's going to sentence Trump to prison. They're going to try everything they can to find a way to put him in prison.
And we hope they do.
And that's what they'll do.
We've got to have a suffering messiah. Messiah thing works.
That's right. So I hear from Jacob. If Biden is not listening to the Supreme Court as far as the repayment of student loans, why would the DOJ listen to the Supreme Court in fighting for Trump's civil rights? If you let third world people come into the country, you're going to get a third world country. When is the Democrat convention? When is it? They're all roughly the same time. Good question.
It's in August.
Is it in August? Okay. Imagine if Biden loses to Trump in the debates and then Trump is sentenced to prison. That means Biden lost to a con. But I think we've seen how far they're going to go. And I think once they've gone down this road, I think they're committed to taking it all the way. I think they're going to try to put him in prison. Yes. They're going to try to put him in prison before the convention, before as soon as they can. Mm-hmm. Right. The judge can, again, doesn't actually matter. There was no law. Right. They made up the law here. So they could equally make up the law to say
if you're convicted. And sentence, you just leave the courtroom under shackles. That's, you're right off to jail. They can, in discretion, save it until the appeal is on. But is this judge going to do that? Oh, yeah.
Well, no, because no, the judge can say no. It's starting immediately, and then you have to appeal that. Now, and that's a case where I think that a higher court, the Supreme Court, might get involved in something like that. But it's hard to say. But again, back to the thing.
Well, that one is correct. I mean, like it matters, but a judge can just, after the sentencing, the person's have to start a sentence.
Right. And again, as you said, typically they let it wait until there's an appeal, but there's nothing.
Normally they do not. Normally you go right to jail.
Oh, then you can't be released on bond pending an appeal.
No. Most of the time they will not release you and pending an appeal. I mean, that's the more.
Okay.
Abnormal.
Okay.
Most of the time, you're just off to jail.
And I think we're going to see. So again, back to the main point is the Republican Party needs to wake up. And more than that, this is, and we'll talk about this in a little bit. This is why this 2024 election is so crucial to Republicans, because I take back they need to wake up. I think the Republican Party is awake. What the Republican Party needs to do is purge itself of people like Doug Lamborn, who sit back and do nothing. And they need to get rid of people, say, okay, we'll form a committee and we'll look into it. We need to have people. I was reading a thing. I thought this is perfect. What the Republicans need to do is say to a candidate, give me a list of the Democrat officials that you're going to put in prison or get lost. If you don't have that list, if you're not willing to start going down that list, then next, right?
We ought to ask George Blanco.
Yeah, really? it's from Jacob. As a point of history, May 30th, 1431, Joan of Arc was executed. 593 days later to the date, Trump is convicted. Bragg says no bail. I didn't know. What did he mean by that? Does he said there is not a bail for this crime? Or
No bail for the period between now until sentencing.
Okay. So he's free until the sentencing, but that's, like I said, 3 days before the thing. Okay, but anyway, back to this is what, again, we need to
that
do.
That was one of the great trials. You ever watch the Passion of Joan of Arc, and they have the transcripts from the actual trial?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's scary.
But anyway, so
sounds very similar to New York.
Yeah, real a bunch of sound. Megyn Kelly yesterday, like many, is saying the same thing that many of us are saying. It's like, Republicans, get off your butts and start doing something. Thomas, if we could please play the Megyn Kelly soundbite.
It's a before and after moment for America. What just happened today is a line we can't uncross. And these Democrats will rue the day they decided to use lawfare to stop a presidential candidate. I'm not talking about violence. I'm talking about tit for tat. You just wait, and it won't be Hunter Biden the next time. It's going to be Joe Biden. It could potentially still be Barack Obama. It could still potentially be Hillary Clinton. We're going to have to look at what the statutes of limitations are on the various crimes they surely committed. We're going to have to look at passing laws to revive those dead crimes, felonies or misdemeanors, so that those cases can be brought out of time. That's what may be in the interests of justice. Just like they did for E. Jean Carroll, with a New York State law that was passed so that she could sue him.
And then, check me your idea. Yeah, don't do that. Just go straight to the Civil Rights Act.
Don't wait. for them for the process to pass a law.
Right. Just go straight, like you said, and start imprisoning the judge, Bragg, Merchant, however you say his name.
Erlin, whoever his name, the prior judge.
Right. And Merrick Garland,
Merrick
right?
Garland, yeah, he deserves to be arrested.
Joe Biden from Charlene.
No, Joe Biden should be left alone.
Didn't Cohen actually take money for himself and categorize it as hush money, aka embezzlement? If Trump had been a congressman at the time, the taxpayers would have paid out of the Congressional Sexual Allegations Fund. That's
There you
true.
go.
Oh, and then from Jacob, I think the big news lately was that Klaus Schwab resigned from the World Economic Forum or Federation. Yeah, that is interesting news too.
But he really didn't give up power. He
Yeah.
resigned from the top spot, but he's still
Because
chairman of
he's
the
like a
pool
hundred.
board or
Yeah.
something.
Here's another thing though, too, about Donald Trump. And I will say this. I have a hard time understanding why, if you're a Republican, well, I do understand because you don't like his policies, because they're
You
going to be
don't
bad for
like
your business.
America.
Right.
You're just a
Yes.
piece of shit.
Exactly. Because you look at what the man has gone through, right? Trump just, Barron just graduated. Melania, there are pictures of them. I mean, it's got to be depressing to be them. I mean, you got to wonder, do they have conversations where Barron is like, Dad, are you going to go to jail, right? Are you going to go to prison? And if you're Barron, I mean, can you imagine what lessons Barron Trump is learning about the
They
world?
can do this to him.
Yeah, exactly. And Donald Trump, he could make this all go away if he just stopped, right? And
I'm
he and he
not even.
not well and he doesn't. And I think that if you're a Republican, how can you not be supportive of somebody who is doing all of this to make America first for you, right? Trump doesn't need America first for him, really, right? It's for the rest of us. And that's basically what he said. He had a press conference this morning, and he was unusually subdued for Donald Trump. And I don't know, maybe that's clever on his part, or maybe, it's sort of a subduing moment. I don't think the Trump team was surprised. I think, like anything, you're hopeful, but I know Blanche was saying, we knew the fix was in from the beginning. But Thomas, if we could please play the Trump soundbite.
But I'm out there and I don't mind being out there because I'm doing something for this country and I'm doing something for our Constitution. It's very important, far beyond me. And this can't be allowed to happen to other presidents. It should never be allowed to happen in the future. But this is far beyond me. This is bigger than Trump. This is bigger than me. This is bigger than my presidency.
And I think that's true,
I agree.
don't you? I mean, this is that's where Megyn Kelly said it's like this is a line has been crossed here. And now, frankly, since we can't go back, what we need Republicans to do is start crossing the frickin' line, right? Rather than,
Never will.
do you think no one will? You don't think anyone
Well, to
will?
anyone to date, how long has lawfare been going on?
You don't think Paxton will come through?
No.
So you don't think anyone's going to employ your brilliant strategy?
Oh, Paxton will,
That's what I'm trying to talk
yes,
about.
my brilliant strategy, yes, Paxton will do that. I mean, because it's only fair. I mean, it's not you're trying to take the law and screw over the little guy. Here you're applying the law with some,
Twist
twists and jujitsu and so
liberal
forth,
exercise.
to try to go after the bad guys. Yeah, he will.
Okay, hopefully he will. Well, and this is an
Yeah, I
interesting
have
thing.
to tell him this is the plan,
Yeah,
but
you have to come,
I'll call him up.
dear Ken, dear Ken.
Can
Well,
you, Chuck? You know me,
and
Chuck
interesting.
and Julie Joe.
This was circulating on the internet earlier too, and that is an old Rush Limbaugh thing. Rush Limbaugh sort of called all of this a
He
while
called
ago.
everything.
Yeah, he
That's
called.
why he was so unique.
That's right. If we could, Thomas, play the Rush Limbaugh soundbite.
I know they desperately want Trump gone, and I know that they desperately want it codified that Trump cannot run again, because make no mistake, they remain scared to death of you, and they remain scared to death of Trump. Trump, 75 million, 80 million votes. And I'm going to tell you're not going anywhere. Even if Trump does, you're not. They can't separate you from Trump. And more importantly, they can't separate you from the ideas. They can't separate you from MAGA. They can't separate you from Make America Great Again, which I think remains one of our big campaign strengths going forward. They believe that they can destroy this bond that exists between you and Trump if they somehow make Trump look bad, make Trump look like a reprobate, embarrass you about Trump. They can't do it because you came before Trump.
And I think that's the biggest thing, which is why this is so dangerous, not just for Trump, but for the rest of us.
Almost at the very end of his life.
Right. But I mean, that's though, again, the, I mean, look at the January 6th people, the FBI looking at Catholics who have Latin masses.
They're not stupid. No. They know that they maybe can't. And that's why you have 17 million newcomers that arrived in the last 3.5 years. Because you go, we don't care, because now
we've got other newcomers voting, and we can even save money. We don't even have to mail out the ballots to them. No. We just have them all sitting right here.
So they figured that one out too.
Well, let me bring this back to some you know, to local elections. On Monday, the ballots mail out in Colorado for the election, and I think what happened in court yesterday, well, and has been happening, is one of the reasons why this election is so crucial. Because again, we need to put Republicans in Congress who will not just send out concerned tweets, right? Who will not just schedule another hearing in which the Democrats ignore the subpoenas and keep doing everything that they've been doing, right? And then, meanwhile, the Republicans in jail, like Steve Bannon, right, for ignoring
the
subpoena.
He's going to jail.
Yeah. We need to elect Republicans who will, like I said, say, you know, here's a list of Democrats I'm going to put in prison. Not that I'm going to go after, not that I'm going to talk too harshly, that I'm going to try to put in prison. That's what we need. So I'm going to say, you know, you hear people say, Republicans say, and, you know, Rhino Watch talked about this morning, and the email went out, and I absolutely agree with it. And I know you do. Mm-hmm. The time is not, you know, all the rhinos say unity, unity. And then, you know, then they abandon the grassroots. Here's the thing, there is, when you're an Americans for Prosperity endorsed candidate, like Gabe Evans in CD8, Jeff Hurd in CD3, and Jeff Frank in CD5. Americans for Prosperity hates Trump. And they hate you. They want open borders. All they care about is making money for themselves and holding on to power. They make no bones about it. That's not like a secret, right? So when you have those candidates who say, oh no, I support Donald Trump, you don't support Donald Trump, because if you supported Donald Trump, Gabe Evans, Jeff Hurd, and Jeff Crank, you would say, take your money, take your endorsement, and shove it.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe when I get to Congress, I'm going to launch an investigation of you. I mean, that's what you say. You don't say, well, I can't help endorse me, because I guarantee you, Americans for Prosperity openly says they want to elect people to Congress who they can count on to thwart Trump. And so they're going to turn over.
We had one of our many groups, a very nice lady, come out and say that they're going to support Gabe Evans and so forth. And somebody else accused her of being a rhino. And then her husband came in and said, look at all the things she's done. And in some sense, you know, we love Trump, we watch everything. But it's that weak-willedness that is, okay, Gabe Evans seems to be a very... And he is.
He's a good speaker, nice guy. I mean, the only thing I have against Gabe Evans is that he's a rhino who's taking the endorsement from Americans for Prosperity, and then he's lying to you about it. I'm sorry. But when you say, I support Donald Trump, and you're taking money and an endorsement from a group that wants to destroy Donald Trump, that's not how you support Donald Trump.
Right.
And Gabe Evans could probably get elected, well, without Americans for Prosperity. The trouble is...
No, he couldn't.
Well...
he might not be able to.
Right. But we need candidates like that. And you bring it into, you know, look at Weld County. Lori Sane was embattled there. So you have Weld County Commission, who's who call themselves Republicans, who don't even want to stand
Rock
up.
Rock Rib Republicans. Right. As conservative as they get.
Don't even want to stand up against sanctuary city travesties. Right. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Nobody wants that. Everyone sees what happened to Denver. They don't want to do that. So are these the same kind of Republicans who are going to go to their county attorney and say, here's a list of Democrats I want you to start prosecuting, right? No, they're not. They're going to wring their hands and say, well, they don't.
Winners. You can go after me.
Yeah. Well, exactly. You could go after her for being drunk and some sort of public
and disorderly
conduct, unbecoming or something. Surely there's got to be some kind of ethics
crime you could invent.
Right. DUI. Yeah. I mean, how's she getting back and forth to the Capitol and all of her meetings?
I'm still very proud of her, because she's from Westminster and was a city council person here in Westminster. She announced immediately after the embarrassment, she went into rehab. Then you found out 2 weeks later, Well, not exactly went into it. She went into her home
Rehabbing at home.
and rehabbing at home, and they'll have some medical people stopping by.
Yeah.
Now that's going to work. You know that.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Well, so we can investigate her. I mean, this is a kind of, so vote for Lori Sane, right? Don't, we can no longer even, I think we got to call him out immediately. You look at some of the legislators who are getting D's and F's from the Liberty Scorecard, who are voting for, who is it? Will Perry, a Republican, who voted to let illegal immigrants get their driver's licenses almost immediately. Well, you know what? That rather than right now, they have to, I think, wait a year. You can still get your driver's license. And of course, when you get your driver's license, you immediately go on to the motor voter rolls, right? And then you pinky swear that you won't vote illegally in the
Unless they
election.
send you a card,
Unless they
too.
send you a card, which Jenna Griswold does, and then you'll vote. I mean, and so what does Will Perry do? He's a Republican. He says, oh, well, that's too long to wait. That just get them into the motor voter
Right
rolls
away.
right away, right? And it's like, again, you need to be a candidate that says Will Perry needs to say, you know what? I've been watching some of these Democrat legislators. That Hernandez guy and that Epps guys, they're domestic terrorists. I think we need to prosecute him for that. That's what I want to start hearing from Republican candidates. And those candidates are going to have my votes. The candidates who say, I don't even care. Most of them are smart enough now that they're not going to say we must respect the process, right? They're good, but they're going to talk about how terrible it is. It's time for talk is done. The Democrats are not just talking about doing things. The Democrats, I guarantee you, next month are going to do everything they can to put Trump behind bars.
If you read the emails to Ronald Watts, people say, quit dividing the Republican Party. This is, Ronald Reagan said, don't criticize other Republicans, which is what they always say. And people have to realize one thing. Our enemy is not the Democrat.
Right.
Our enemy is the Uniparty. Our enemy is among us, which is the rhinos. And until we expel this awful canker among us, well, we're never going anyway because the rhinos managed to give away everything, open primaries, everything else, just to destroy us. And they'll try to get us to do ranked choice voting.
But no, that's a good point. You're right.
Our enemy is not Democrats, the Uniparty. That's who we're fighting, is the Uniparty.
That's right. And now hear from Charlene on the Rush Limbaugh thing. She says, perfect. Limbaugh always got the premise right. Then Jacob says, as for Chuck's point, there was a black man who was on late night radio on a late night radio show who said that Trump is going through what the blacks went through in the courts. And then Charlene, exactly, Julie, Uniparty candidates will thwart Trump and MAGA. Blacks and Latinos understand the establishment that Trump is up against. And then Jacob says, also, Chuck is right. And Trump files a civil rights complaint and wins. Then what will happen to the two jurors who are attorneys who swore to uphold the Constitution? Oh, that's a good thing. And then Charlene, it's not just the Democrats, it's Mike Johnson and Mitch McConnell, the
Yes,
Uniparty.
yes.
Exactly. You know what? Hey, actually, Jacob, that's a good idea. You know what? They took Jenna Ellis's, which is a good thing, law license away, right, for violating stuff. They could do that too. They should go into those, they should go in and somebody, well, they won't, but should go in and say to those attorneys, oh, I'm sorry, it's an ethical violation. We're going to do to you what you did to John Eastman, and we're going to take away your law license. The time, and again, the sad thing is, as you pointed out, it's not that Republicans need to wake up because the Uniparty Rhino establishment, they know this is going on, right? But what I think the grassroots people need to do is realize no one is coming to save us, right? But ourselves, right? And so we have to hold candidates' feet to the fire. We have to, again, these well-meaning Republicans who
You're
say,
really well-meaning there.
it'd be kind of like well-meaning, when you're, I don't know, you're watching something evil and bad happen and you just refuse to see it, right? I mean, there is something to be said for, evil can flourish when good people don't stand up and do something, right? And it's going to be a time that takes courage, right? You may not be, and a lot of these people aren't, the kind of people who like to ruffle feathers. They like to get along, and I get all that. But the time for liking it to get along, we are past that. The Democrats, no one is saying to Judge Mershon, maybe you should let that election expert testify. Mm-hmm. I mean, just, and he's like, no, right? No one is saying to the judge, look, maybe just don't put Trump in prison. No one is saying that to him. None of the Democrats are trying to get along. And Mitch McConnell issues this tepid statement. I mean, you know where the polls are, otherwise they wouldn't have done that, right? The Republicans clearly showed the polls indicate people support Trump, or Mitch McConnell would have never put out a favorable statement, don't you think? But I mean, they all did except for a couple, and we haven't heard much from them. But in the end, it's not going to make any difference if we allow the Democrats to keep doing this. And I think you're right. The only way to fight is to fight, as Megyn Kelly said, lawfare with lawfare.
You have to have a particular type of lawfare.
Okay.
That you go after the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go after innocent Democrats like you go after innocent Republicans. You go after the bad guys. And the bad guys are the judges and the prosecutors who have put lawfare into effect.
Mm-hmm. What about Mark Elias? Could you just, he's a lawfare general. Can you go after him?
No, just the people.
Just the people who actually did it. Mm-hmm. No, that's a good, hopefully Ken Paxton, like you said, you should get on the phone. And, you know, George Soros, I think, saw this coming it to a certain extent, which is why he spent so much money funding Democrat attorney generals.
Yeah, and I have no idea why you couldn't find some statute about George Soros and all the evil he's done around the world.
Yeah. Charlene, it's Mike Johnson and the Mitch McConnell Uniparty. Yeah, I mean, Johnson, that was nice that they all went out. And that's what Republicans do, right? They all go out and they hold those news conferences outside of
pom-poms and bridges.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's right. Going out and speaking for Trump, that was good, but it was the equivalent of waving a pom-pom on the bridge while the jury went in there. I mean, think of it. This is a trial. It was a month-long trial, like 22 witnesses, mm-hmm. right? 34 counts, complicated counts. Well, I guess since we weren't really clear what the whole law was, that maybe it wasn't that complicated. And they took just a few hours to find him guilty. Right. This is how the deliberations went. Someone went and says, does anyone here think Trump is guilty? No. Does anyone want to find Trump not guilty? No. OK, vote. Everyone raise their hand.
No,
and then they said,
okay, let's look at,
let's look at some stuff to make it seem like we care.
Let's put out some notes pretending we're doing a duty.
And that's the lawyers. Right. The lawyers are like, hey, if we ask some questions, that'll make it look like we're doing something. Yeah. But there's no way they had time to go through all of those counts without just going in and say, do we just want to convict Trump?
No, yeah, they couldn't have gone for 34 counts and determined guilt on all 34.
No. They just said, is he overall guilty? Yes. Right.
But of course, it doesn't matter because the statute of limitations did prevent. Those are all misdemeanors and their time is gone. So, but what you do is you take those and you ratchet in this deal that some vague statute says if you have predetermined acts for a further one, it doesn't matter how far back you can go.
Well, that's brilliant, though, about your civil rights thing, right? Because there's no statute.
Yes.
I mean, you just kind of twist that. You're using their exact tactics against it. You just kind of twist it around a little bit and accuse them of that. You do that in some kind of place. Where would you do it in federal? You need a friendly federal court. Florida.
Well, you can find federal court. You know, so there's some great Trump justices at places. Find a rabid Trump judge.
Mm-hmm.
And a circuit that is pro-Trump.
Mm-hmm. And I think to a certain extent...
Go down to Miami. Get
Judge Cannon.
Yeah.
Well, and this kind of makes to a great extent the Jack Smith stuff moot. I mean, it could be interesting to see what comes down on this, but I just don't see, going back to some of the... except for what you're saying, there is no way... I don't want to say it to save Trump right now from this, right? The more suffering, the more suffering.
Suffering Messiah. They didn't just have him stoned or something, which is, you know, not pleasant, but doesn't have the same thing where you whip and you flay and you carry the cross and then you nail to the cross and it's supposed to take a week for you to die and all that kind of thing. The suffering Messiah must suffer.
Well, and continue. And again, that's in its own way getting him votes. And I think, you know, we'll see how the poll. I don't think it's going to have a major impact on how people vote. I think the people who hate Trump are glad he was convicted, but they were always going to vote against him. This people who staunchly support Trump also knew he was going to be convicted, and they're going
to
still...
No, but it only has to make a difference of 1 or 2%.
Right.
And moreover, you're going to have polls going out there kind of saying, would you really vote for a convicted felon? You
know,
No.
Well, excuse me for coughing. Oh, I know. I think allergies are killing me here. But I think, though, it's time to quit just holding congressional hearings that are worthless. They don't go anywhere, right? And we need to, any candidate that's out there, you need to say, what Democrat would you imprison? And how would you do it, right?
Well,
and anyone who says, well, we need the system to play out, then you say, you're a no vote. You know, go to the back, don't even apply. Right. Don't even apply, because we need fighters. And you know what? Here's the thing about fighters. And this is where the rhinos and some of the establishment people just don't get it. As you talk about, you have a peacetime conciliarge and you have a wartime. And they're two different.
Conciliary.
Okay. I am not up on my mafia.
Concierge is the person.
Oh, that's right. That's the hotel guy. Well, you need a wartime concierge.
A wartime concierge. Oh, yeah, you want to get you go to a restaurant? I'll tell you where the fuck you're going, buddy.
You want a double king? No way. Oh, no, I'm blushing. I'm embarrassed. but you have wartime, I think, and you have peacetime. Elected officials, right? Right now, we need wartime elected officials. And I don't care what people say about Lauren Boebert. She is a wartime elected official. Dave Williams, a wartime elected official.
Yes. Ron Hanks,
a wartime elected official. Brandy Bradley, a wartime, Ken DeGraff. I mean, we could go down the list. Republicans are too few of them. We do not need any peacemaker reach across the aisle, guys, because the Democrats, when you reach across the aisle, they're going to cut your arm off, right? And they need to realize that. That's right. Yeah, Charlene says a MAGA slate. That's right. And then, Jacob, I just know that Jesse Kelly for at least 6 months has been saying that red state AG should go after Democrats. That's right. And I think it's past time to just talk about it.
It's time to do it.
I know. Well, all you need is one, right?
We just need one, unless you want to have one who looks at the Civil Rights Act of their own state and says, "Oh, wait a minute, this is a violation." Except, in Washington D.C. and New York, how do you get a hold of these people for venue? I don't know.
Well, I go back to when you say they won't. You don't think any Republican AGs will start using lawfare?
No.
Not even Paxton, then. I thought earlier you were saying you thought Paxton would.
No, he, if he gets to be attorney general.
Oh, okay.
Would in fact, because then you're really doing.
Elected.
Yeah, you're not doing something you think is contrary to the law. Democrats don't care if they're doing something contrary to the law. The ends equal the means.
Democrats don't care if a man says he's a woman. Democrats don't care if a man says I can have a baby, right? So why on earth, if they think that's okay, Democrats have their truths, right? Yes. So the law is their law. I mean, and that's the thing, Republicans, it's like, there is no, if you're a Democrat, everything is twisted just to whatever you want it to be. And that's...
And what's the result of that? You have a brand new conservative speaker give them everything they want.
Right, exactly.
Everything. Oh, we only control one house. No, you don't control anything, apparently.
No, well, King Jeffrey says he controls it.
Yeah, he
right?
does.
The Democrat.
He does.
But census is Party Friday. We do have a funny soundbite. And I do want to say this again.
I brought some...
Fireball. No.
Fireball.
It is important to keep your spirits up, I think. And remember, again, there are more of us than there are... of them. God is in this fight, right? We're not in this alone by any means. And I think therefore too, and Trump shows this all the time. I mean, he doesn't seem to get depressed, and he makes jokes. He's not like the world's funniest guy, but he seems to be in good spirits. And so I found this soundbite for you. This is from that guy, Sean Farage, who is a Trump impersonator. If we could please play the outlaw soundbite, Thomas.
This town ain't big enough for the two of us, Crooked Joe. It's a tiny town. It's smaller than AOC's bread. She has a very low IQ, and we're taking our town back. Thanks to fat, thunder thighs, Twinkies enthusiast, Alvin Bragg, I am now an outlaw. The greatest outlaw the world has ever seen. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. Nobody thought it was possible. The fake news is saying Donald Trump is now a modern-day Bonnie and Clyde. I call it Donnie and Clyde. Everything these people try doesn't work. It makes us stronger. They tried Russia. They tried the mugshot. I call it the Mona Lisa of mugshots. Nobody's ever seen a better mugshot before. It's incredible. And now they've turned me into an outlaw. We are going to go into the White House. We are going to look at Crooked Joe and say, you're fired. We're going to drag him out kicking and screaming. His diaper's going to be so full. Fake Dr. Jill doesn't know what the hell to do about it. And we are going to take back our country. 2024 is the year of the outlaw and the year of the outlaw president. Believe me.
And for those who could only hear that, what he's doing is Donald Trump always wears like a white shirt and a red tie and then a blue suit jacket. And there he replaces a suit jacket with like a jean jacket with the sleeves cut off. I think that was great. Charlene says great impersonation. And then final thing. From Sandra, great information and talking points is always another good show. Thank you, and BBS Radio. Thank you, Sandra. And remember Judge Kagan's question in Colorado when the lawyers were trying to keep Trump off the ballot. Who are you to tell the rest of the country how to vote? Maybe the same question will come up to Judge Juan Merchan. All right. Hey, thank you, everybody, for your comments. Everyone, it's time to party Friday.
Yay.
Now. I love that. 2024 is the year of the outlaw. We're going to change our show to not the grassroots show, but the outlaw show.
Grassroots show.
We'll see you guys. Everybody have a great weekend.
Bye-bye, everyone.